Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Saturday. Wow. Saturday in downtown Milwaukee with nothing but sunshine and smiles all over greater downtown. You were at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I took my family. Just absolutely amazing. Thousands of people. And then you had this really fun intersection with the anime conference at the Baird Center. It was just beautiful. The Third Street Market Hall was packed. Then the Admirals, I think, had more than 8,000 people at their game, just buzzing all around. And this week is going to be another beautiful week in downtown Milwaukee. We're going to lead into what? Olivia Rodrigo's in town on Saturday. The Bucks are back in town Thursday and Sunday, I think. The Sixers and the Suns. So it's electric. Downtown Milwaukee, just like this show. Truly on the upswing. There are challenges, for sure. Don't get me wrong. Every city has its challenges. But the opportunities are much bigger. And with the release of a new strategic plan for our state's largest downtown, I thought we would come together that so that all communities can learn and benefit from hearing about what the key takeaways in the Milwaukee Downtown strategic plan are. So today I'm really excited for the show, and you're going to love today's guests. And we'll have a Monday market update from Dave Spano at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little bit about cities spending money on spring break, maybe some generational wealth transfer, and talk about local banks as well. But last year, Milwaukee Downtown, the largest business improvement district in the state, celebrated its 25th year of operations. 25 years! I remember the very first news conference to kick off that event. It was a really windy day. I think I wrote some of the news releases. I tell you, wow, 25 years, time truly, truly flies. Over the past quarter century, its programs, events, and initiatives have had a transformational effect on the Central Business District in Milwaukee. I've always said that cities do not build themselves, right? They need champions, they need programs, they need processes, and they need constant promotion to grow. Today, downtown Milwaukee is the economic and entertainment heart of the state and the most thriving, sustainable, inclusive, and innovative part of the city of Milwaukee. Throughout the past several years, Milwaukee Downtown, the organization, has set out to plot its next chapter with a new strategic plan created from widespread feedback from employees, residents, and visitors, as well as their peer organizations all around the area, government officials, and business executives. I was part of several of these sessions. They were dynamic and they were energizing. And it's cool to see the plan come to fruition and to be able to spend some time today going through it. In addition, last summer, the group conducted targeted outreach to business executives and community leaders through surveys and several roundtable discussions and public meetings. What did the group learn? Well, that's why we're here today. Beth Werick and Matt Dorner are in studio to detail the downtown strategic plan for us. Talk about connecting MKE, the downtown plan for 2040, and to dive into the five key focus areas that will make downtown Milwaukee go even further. As downtown goes and grows, other parts of the city and the neighboring communities will grow too. Greater Milwaukee, it's all connected. And that's the crux of connecting MKE, the downtown plan for 2040, which was recently adopted by the Milwaukee Common Council. This plan represents an inclusive vision of downtown as the place for every resident in every neighborhood to feel welcome and connected to Milwaukee City Center. There's six big ideas in this plan: growing downtown's population, investing in parks and gathering spaces, expanding and enhancing transit, reconnecting places divided by human-made barriers, improving streets to support all users, and redesigning streets as public places. I'm excited for this opportunity to dive into the plan and to take your questions. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Chime in on any questions that you have about downtown. We'll get Also, an update on the new downtown dog park, probably dispel a few misconceptions about downtown, talk about opportunities and challenges, and maybe Matt and Beth will even spill on a few of their insider secrets for getting around downtown. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing, talking all things strategic plan with the leaders of Milwaukee Downtown. Beth Wierick is the CEO of Milwaukee Downtown Business Improvement District 21. She spent 25 years with the downtown bid and is a true driving force behind many of the initiatives for the city's central business and entertainment district. She came to the bid after a long time at the city of Milwaukee. Matt Dorner is the economic development director for Milwaukee Downtown. He's been there almost 10 years, right? Worked at the Village of Menominee Falls before. And in true Wisconsin glory, and to showcase the intersection of rural and urban, Matt grew up on a dairy farm in Luxembourg. So that just shows, like, city, yeah, we can all work together, right, Matt?
Absolutely.
So if we start out, please, give us kind of, I set the table a little bit in the introduction, but give us the why and the what and the overview of the strategic plan for downtown Milwaukee.
Sure. So as you preface it so well, Jeff, and thank you so much for having Matt and myself here today. We're really excited to have this platform and the ability to have the conversation. So the why is really, as you know, we engaged with the Department of City Development under the leadership of Mayor Johnson on updating the downtown area plan, which you touched on so well. So thank you so much for touching on that. Our organization, Milwaukee Downtown, is the Downtown Business Improvement District. We are funded by our downtown commercial property owners, which I know a lot of people think it's tax dollars that fund a lot of our initiatives, but it's our commercial property owners funding an additional assessment. So after the city adopted the Greater Downtown Area Plan 2040, our organization immediately jumped into our next 5-year strategic plan. So we looked at those areas where Bid 21, when Milwaukee Downtown Bid 21 said, hey, we'll take that as a responsibility, mm-hmm. or we'll be a partner in those initiatives. We brought all of those initiatives to our membership and our public and our constituency and said, help us prioritize this. Give us some guidance and direction on projects and programs that are most critical to you, to the economic vitality, connection to community, creating vibrancy. And so we ventured into developing our next year, 5-year plan, which has been extraordinarily, I would say, adventurous.
Yeah.
We just adopted it, and we've got a lot of work to do in front of us.
Nice. So the first area focus of the plan is clean, safe, and welcoming. Just to, again, to kind of set the table, what are the basic boundaries and definition of downtown? If people are listening from outside of the area, give us that definition of the boundaries of downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think Matt and I always say downtown is a frame of mind. So there's no such thing
as that.
It is. Downtown is a frame of mind. But for purposes of what the boundaries of Bid 21 or Business Improvement District 21 is, to the east, it's essentially the lake. And to the west, it's 10th Street. To the north, we entail Schlitz Park, and then we go as far south as the Amtrak station, the intermodal station, just right up until the river. We bump right up against on 794 to the historic Third Ward. So it's roughly 150 square blocks of downtown Milwaukee. Yeah.
And when we talk clean, safe, and welcoming for the first focus area, what are some of the perception and reality challenges the organization is facing in terms of what downtown is and isn't?
Well, I think when we talk particularly about clean, safe, and welcoming, I've been in this industry for over 30 years, and there is always what always rises to the top when we hear from the general public of what is most important. It's always clean and safe. Clean and safe is always at the top. And I think for those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to travel and travel around the world, you know your experience is better when you're in a space where it is clean, where it is safe, where it is welcoming. And so for those of us who have been able to travel, I know we always come home and we say, wow, what a great, wonderful, safe, clean city that we have. Regardless, perception becomes reality. And so it's something that we recognize no matter how much our clean soup ambassadors are out there or our public service ambassadors are out there or we're addressing those quality of life initiatives, we can never rest on those laurels. I mean, I always challenge people, find gum on the sidewalk or show me a graffiti tag or sticker. And I think it's going to be a challenge for people to do that because we really take pride in taking care of our house.
Yeah. So one of the big moves in terms of continuing on the safety protocol has been, you've really been a leader with the Key to Change program to continue to combat chronic homelessness. What's that initiative all about and how does that continue moving forward in the strategic plan?
So multiple years ago, our organization created a collaborative partnership. It's called our Community Intervention Team, where we work very closely with our downtown District 1 Police Department, our District Attorney's Office, our City Attorney's Office, Visit Milwaukee, our other downtown neighbors and community-based organizations, and with Milwaukee County Housing Division. And we implement and support a program called the Housing First Model, which was first founded by Dr. Sam Simbaris. We have one full-time homeless outreach coordinator that is very focused on reaching out into our community, dealing with our unsheltered population to make sure they get connectivity to the services, the wraparound services that they need, and help connect people to housing. Our goal is to 100% end chronic homelessness. In addition to that, we work very, very closely. We have one full-time public service ambassador who is also dedicated to providing support services so they get to know everybody in our community. We're right. very focused on equity and inclusivity and helping our individuals who do need support services.
Great. We'll be right back after this break. I want to continue that conversation. I want to talk about economic growth and the next chapter in parking. Parking, always a hot topic. This is The Upswing. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Talking today with Beth Wierick and Matt Derner from Milwaukee Downtown. Talking text line 855-616-1620 from the 414. People reminded me that the Badger Region Volleyball Championships, the largest youth volleyball tournament in the state, will be happening this weekend as well. That always brings in a huge, huge crowd. So I wanted to talk a little bit about jobs and economic development at the heart of what the strategic plan is all about. What percentage of citywide jobs are downtown and what's the importance to continuing to maintain and grow our downtown workforce?
Well, thanks, Jeff, for having us this morning. Yeah, absolutely. Downtown is the vibrant heart and the economic center of the entire region. So based on the most recent data, about one in every three citywide jobs is located in downtown Milwaukee. So you have about 33% of our job concentration in downtown. So again, showing the incredible importance of downtown Milwaukee really to the entire city as well as the region in terms of, you know, folks coming in to go to work. And we continue to grow that. That concentration is just going to continue to increase. Since 2020 alone, we had documented over 7,600 jobs that have been either committed to downtown or have currently relocated. So on the backs of doubling down with Northwestern Mutual, Pfizer, Milwaukee Tool, Software One, and the list goes on and on. So again, downtown Milwaukee and its competitive advantages continue to get those business wins.
And in day to day, how does the bid work to recruit and grow that pie of businesses that are relocating, not only to downtown, but to greater Milwaukee?
Yeah, it really is about continuing to be part of a team in a collaborative effort. I think the bid is a go-to resource for a lot of our folks that are, you know, property owners or in the commercial brokerage industry, as well as just a larger regional economic development team. So, you know, how do we continue to market, document, you know, and talk about all the competitive advantages and all the good momentum that's going on in downtown? So a lot of it is really being a go-to resource for data, as well as just identifying those opportunities for, you know, what businesses are growing or might be able to take advantage of a downtown location. So it's really kind of that being active, as well as just continuing to help our partners and fill in any sort of gaps that we can.
Yeah. And then we have the business of parking, always from an employee standpoint. I heard some stories with the new employees at Fiserv. You know, they did some creative solutions to giving their employees parking. And it's a challenge. It can be a challenge. It's usually not for me. I'm totally used to parking in all wonderful, dense parts of the city. But it's not a simple issue, right? It's not just supply and demand. So talk about what is in the strategic plan in terms of technology, incentives, transit. Give us the state of parking in downtown Milwaukee, Beth. Or Matt.
Great. I'm happy to. And I know Matt can parley off of this as well. I think we're always contending with parking, right? And as you know, in the connecting MKE, Downtown Plan 2040, transit is really a critical issue that we intend to address. And we recognize that parking is really important, is an important component of that. And I think given technology and crowdsourcing apps like Spot Hero, we can do a better job of marketing and promoting the parking that is available, because there's a lot of parking in downtown Milwaukee. And so for those of us who know where to find it, it's real, real easy, right? But for those who are making a change or transition, we want to be helpful in that transition. So what is that balance really of making parking a user-friendly experience, but then also working on focusing and enhancing the investment in public transportation? One of the things that we see that is critically important to our workforce as we're inviting everybody back to the office is public transit and people utilizing that time in their morning commute or PM commute of being in an environment that is, they can get some more work done, or they can socialize, or they can really not worry about it. There's an ease of not having a car. So it is that balance of public transportation and parking, and of course, utilizing technology and our marketing and our communication and messaging.
And you hear that from companies as they're moving downtown and they want more access to whether it's the bus rapid transit, the Milwaukee streetcar, that's one of the differentiators to downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. Economic development and transportation and different options for a wide variety of you know, the workforce is critical. So certainly parking is an important part of the solution, but ultimately expanded options for folks to get around is very important.
Yeah. Are the scooters back yet?
I haven't seen them yet, but
they will be right around the corner. All right. Coming up next, Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management and host of Money Talk will give us a Monday market update, and we'll have more with Milwaukee Downtown. Welcome back to The Upswing, a Monday market update with Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management and host of Money Talk. Dave, happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you. You'll recall 4 years ago today is when COVID was announced as a pandemic. 4 years ago. Seems like longer, actually.
Yeah, it does. In some ways, it seems like much longer. In some ways, it seems like it was just yesterday. And I guess that's just how life is, right?
I guess so.
So I saw something over the weekend, Dave, that millennials, obviously a lot of financial challenges in millennial life, you know, between dot-com bubble and financial crisis and whatnot. But U.S. millennials are now set to inherit more than $90 trillion in assets over the next two decades. And I wanted to get your perspective on that, what impact that will have not only on the economy, but what impact could that have on the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that, you know, that transfer of wealth really from mostly the baby boomers to their kids are really going to have this generational shift, because it will make them the richest generation in history. And of course, with that, as Biggie Smalls once said, more money, more problems, right? So you look at a lot of that information and go, what are you going to do with it as you get this transition of wealth? How do you accept it? Do you accept it during the life? Do you accept it, you know, at their death? And how, when you accept it, what is the taxation? And what I mean by that is there's complexities that are going to come along with it, not only responsibilities, but complexities that come along with this transfer of wealth. And what do they do with it tax-wise, estate-wise, investment-wise? That's where it's going to get complicated. And so the reason why we look at those things and go, all right, what do we do with that? We go through these conversations and say, all right, now that you have it, what are your intentions? You know, a lot of times we're having these conversations with younger folks, and, you know, in some of these social causes come up in their conversations that that's what they want to do.
So in terms of, you know, on the parents and on the kids, how are those discussions? How do you see those discussions coming through, and, you know, what advice can parents give to the kids? Like, hey, you're about to inherit some money. Mm-hmm. Here's the responsibility put upon you.
That's exactly right. So, you know, what we try to do is engage the kids in the conversation. And so they don't just wake up one day and, you know, you see these commercials where they go, the cat gets this and the dog gets this and the kids get this other asset, right? Is we engage them so they know what's coming and they know what the parents intended to do. And a lot of times we do a lot of that work in the front end. And so that could mean setting up trust. That could mean going through and finding out what the parents want and what the kids want to do with that asset. But often it's real estate. You know, when they transfer over real estate, perhaps the kid doesn't want a house in Naples, for example, or the house up north where they have to have the upkeep and pull the piers out and so forth. So we have these conversations that go, if you inherit this asset, especially real estate, what do you do with it? And that's where all of these complexities come in. So we sit it all down, we sit everybody down, and we go through and say, this is the asset. Let's look at the asset list. What do you want to do with that? And then talk about the taxation, the estate tax work, the estate trust work, and then the investments, and say, do you want to continue to hold this asset? And there's things that you can do, because do you sell it at death, you sell it before death, in a trust or outside of a trust, and everyone has got to get their feelings and their assets in line with all of those things.
Mm-hmm. What implication could it have on the housing market?
Yeah, it could. So you can see that, you know, right now there's a shortage of housing, as we all know. And
right. So
a lot of these houses, you know, could be, you know, McMansions in the suburbs, and the kids may not want that. They may want to be in the city, or they don't want to move. They've set up, the grandchildren are going to school somewhere. They may not want that. So we're starting to see right now this transfer of wealth is going to have a dramatic effect on the economy. But I will have to say this is, you know, we deal with clients that have assets. You're going to see this generational divide, and this wealth transfer this divide between assets and wealth, the people who have wealth and don't, who don't, that is going to continue to expand.
Very good. All right. I appreciate your time, and enjoy the rest of your day, Dave.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back with Beth Wierick and Matt Derner continuing our discussion on all things downtown, specifically on that housing topic. We're going to talk about residential growth and placemaking and marketing of our city center. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for being here. I'm always fascinated with, we have these open parcels in cities. How do organizations work to kind of take the lead to fill public spaces, whether it's with developments or public art? What's your organization doing to tackle that fun challenge, Beth Wierick?
Gosh, so many things. You know, one of the things that I have so much pride in is that when Steve Marcus had the great idea of creating Sculpture Milwaukee, and he came to Milwaukee downtown and said, I've got this idea, like, let's make public art free and accessible to all of our citizens and all of our visitors. And our organization very collaboratively, under the leadership of our executive committee and Mr. Marcus, and with work from, you know, everybody on our team, we installed all of these public art installations up and down Wisconsin Avenue, which is now known as Sculpture Milwaukee. And you recognize that is like a perfect example when people say, what's placemaking? That's a good example of placemaking when people are looking for a definition. It's this pop-up public art that creates dialogue, that creates community connectivity, that is educational, experiential, and emotional. And for us, we have recognized, you know, when you talk about how this ties into economic development, our employers tell us they want reasons to stimulate that excitement to come back to the office, to come back to downtown. And the activations that we, along with many of our other partners in downtown do, you know, Westtown and the night market, the activations we do in Red Arrow Park with Heartbeats of the City or at 411 Building, PNC Tunes at Noon, or some of our larger installations, the Atelier Sisu installation that everybody, the Evanescent installation most recently that we partnered with Milwaukee Performing Arts Center, or before that, Lightfield by High Vicozo in Cathedral Square Park, where it was this beautiful, beautiful installation, enormous, larger than life. Those are activations. That's placemaking. That is this pop-up utilization of our public realm to connect people and to educate people and to stimulate people. And so for us, there are so many things that we do, and we've got so many things on the horizon as it relates to placemaking.
Yeah. And having open parcels on the river and near water provide really good opportunity, not only to placemake, but to create new economic development tools like the project you've been working on for the past couple of years, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited about the progress that we've been able to make on delivering downtown's first dog park. This has been a project that, you know, the BID and our partners at the Historic Third Ward have been hearing from our constituents for years. If you go to many urban centers, you see these, you know, you see urban dog parks. And again, those are the types of amenities that enhance quality of life and livability and continue to make downtown a very attractive place to live. So at the end of the day, not only will we deliver, you know, on this amenity, but then we're also taking a parcel that's currently highly visible, but, really nothing, almost a blighting influence. So we're going to convert it into, you know, this great amenity.
And remind us exactly where it is. It's the Foxtown Landing plan that was announced in 2022. It's going to be a new brewery tap room, downtown restaurant right on the river, and then obviously a signature dog park.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on the west banks of the Milwaukee River and basically in between St. Paul and Clybourne. So really when we launched the project, you know, we set out to fundraise and build downtown's first dog park. We're thrilled with the evolution of the project. We were able to find the exact right partner in Fromm Family Pet Foods. Obviously, it made sense to approach them about being a title sponsor. And then also, they're the only ones that I'm aware of that are also in the beer brewing industry. So bringing them down and ultimately, you know, being able to put together this holistic approach with this, you know, largely pet-friendly brewery, distillery, event space right along the river that's going to all be tied together with a new segment of the Riverwalk with this expanded dog park. So okay. The whole thing really coming together.
Do you have a groundbreaking date set?
We should be making some announcements in the very near future here, but we certainly feel confident with the conversations that we have going on that the project will begin here at some point in 2024.
Okay, and then once the ground is broken, is it a six-month process, a one-year process?
Our contractors are telling us about a six-month process. So once we're able to, you know, get all the permits lined up and everything like that and then break the ground, it's going to be about a six-month construction process.
Okay. I'm saying by the end of the year, we're going to have dogs in the winter in downtown Milwaukee. Let's do it.
100%.
All right. Yes. So our deep dive into the strategic plan for Milwaukee downtown wraps up after the break. This is The Upswing. A big thank you to Matt Dorner and Beth Wierick for joining us today. Welcome back to The Upswing. Lots of big moves being made in downtown Milwaukee. Beth Wierick and Matt Dorner from Milwaukee Downtown join us. So what's the next kind of big move for residential in downtown Milwaukee? And specifically, how does the organization work with residents and businesses to prepare for the RNC and kind of everything that's coming in the great Milwaukee summer of 2024?
Well, I would start with our downtown residents are absolutely our biggest cheerleaders. I mean, they're huge supporters of all that downtown has to offer. They're supporters of all of our small businesses. They are advocates for amenities, everything that makes downtown a really great place, the parks, the quality pedestrian experiences, and really engaging in community. I think as it relates to RNC, you know, we've got a couple of things I'd love to talk about, but I also want to have Matt chime in here because as we're talking about downtown living, Matt's got some initiatives that he's working on and we've set some goals in our 5-year plan for increasing the number of residents and affordable housing. So,
yeah, thank you, Beth. growing downtown's residential base and enhancing density, I mean, it was a big part of the downtown plan that really fed into our strategic plan. But there was goals set to essentially, you know, over the course of the next 20 years, how do we double downtown's population with a large percentage?
Where are we at now, sitting population-wise?
Depends on the exact definition that you want to entail, but about sort of this greater downtown area that I generally use with a lot of my market data has us at about 40 to 42,000 residents.
Wow. And okay.
So, yeah, so again, Right now, there's over about 1,500 inside that same boundary. There's about 1,600 units under construction. That includes two of Wisconsin's tallest residential towers, obviously with the Couture and 333 North Water, and then plenty of other infill projects. And then another, we're documenting a pipeline of potentially proposed projects that pushes north of 4,000 additional units. So again, you just see really great growth and a pipeline that's strong as well. And Milwaukee continues to actually have one of the strongest ranking rental markets. Out of any market in the country. So we expect that growth to continue.
And from the growth standpoint, how does, for Milwaukee's downtown or any other downtown across the state, how does downtown's that success move its way onto other parts of the city?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think, everything that we're doing to be a place where people want to live and work and play. Certainly, downtown Milwaukee represents 3% of the city's land mass, but over 21% of the city's property tax base. So right there, when you look at that as an asset and how our commercial investments, our real estate investments really represent a significant portion of our city's tax base. Number one, that is a tremendous, tremendous proposition value. And then I think just in general, everything that we learned through our downtown area plan is continue to be focused on how we're connecting our neighborhoods into downtown so that people relate to it as our downtown. You know, Matt talked about the great goals of implementing and attracting new housing development. Our goal in that downtown area plan as well is that 20% of those new housing units are affordable housing. I mean, right now we stand at about 17%, but I think everything that we're doing and we're investing in downtown, we recognize healthy downtowns and healthy cities have something for everyone.
We all need a healthy heart, right? That's what it's all about. Keep it beating. So from a residential and business standpoint, what are people still saying, this is what I want still in downtown Milwaukee?
You know, I think one of the things that we have continued to hear from all the public engagement that went into the downtown plan is our strategic plan was over 50% of the comments. And again, we got thousands of comments that covered every zip code across the city and beyond, was just continued activation of our public spaces. A lot of commentary about just enhancing walkability and continuing to improve our public spaces. I think pound for pound on the private development side, we talked about all the recent business wins, the rapid redevelopment really across all industry sectors. If you look at new hotel growth, business growth, residential, like we're talking about, how do we continue to enhance those public spaces? We think the dog park project is going to be a big component and a big boost in that category, and then a lot of the other work that we continue to engage with our our friends at the city as well as Milwaukee County Parks.
And Milwaukee loves to shop local. So we want to see more street level retailers. And of course, that connectivity, transportation. Sorry about that.
Very good. No, that's perfect. Those are wonderful answers. So we'll continue to monitor the downtown plan. Hopefully you'll come back. You're not too far away. It's an easy commute to get to the studio. So we'll continue to update the downtown plan on the upswing. Thank you to Matt Dorner and Beth Wierick from Milwaukee Downtown for joining us today. Tomorrow, a dynamic mother and son team who are not only building a bigger and better Milwaukee, but making spirits bright at Central Standard Distillery and making the world a better place through worldwide tours with children's books all across our globe. The Upswing, conversations with people who care and do. See you tomorrow.